Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
G&D on this Tuesday. It's May 11th. 2021. Good afternoon and welcome in. Always appreciate you guys making the show part of your day. Happy Russell Westbrook broke the record last night. Day. He did it, man. Over 4,500 players have played in the NBA, and Westbrook now stands all by himself the most triple doubles in the history of the association.
It's incredible.
And he did it in style last night. 1 point loss, unfortunately, for the Wizards. 13-4, their last 17. They've lost by 1 point in regulation three times out of those four games and lost in overtime in the fourth. 28 points to go along with 13-21 in the other two categories.
Yeah, ho-hum. 21 assists. Unbelievable. So the other guys on that list, right, are, with the exception of Jason Kidd, most of the other guys, Oscar Robertson, you know, 6'7", 6'8", Magic Johnson, 6'8", LeBron James, 6'9", Wilt Chamberlain, 7-footer, Larry Bird, 6'8". You get the point. To rebound the way that he does and then explode up the court, the gaudy assist totals that other point guards that I grew up loving, I watched some NBA TV last night after the game, watched Isaiah Thomas, one of the best point guards ever. I don't know if maybe he's second, third, I don't know, but he was great. These guys would put up him and Stockton and Magic out in the open court a little bit. A lot of those guys are putting up these assist totals in a half-court offense where the game is slower and it's just a different time. I know that it's hard to compare apples to apples. When Jordan's scoring 35 a game, when teams are scoring 93, 94 points a game, it's different than when guys are scoring 31 a game now when they're scoring 120 a night, right,
totally,
as a team. So it's, the errors are different. I'm not as concerned about that right now. I know this. Watching that guy have a nose for the basketball, pull down a rebound when there are eight people taller than him on the basketball court, exploding up and pushing the pace, and guys know, they figured out pretty quickly, if I run, I get dunks. If I run, I get open shots, and you got to run with him. He pushes the pace. He is a dynamo. The energy he plays with is staggering. I can't believe he's not tired. Like that's how quickly and how unbelievably he pushes the pace constantly for the entire time he's on the court. It really is amazing, man. Congrats.
Much more on Westbrook in just a moment. Do want to say, as we set the table here to start Grant and Danny today, we now know the Caps will play the Bruins. Joe Beninati, who's going to be on the call in the first round of the playoffs for NBC Sports Washington, will join us in 55 minutes at 3 o'clock today to give us an idea of that matchup and really what it entails. The Bruins last night beat the Islanders in overtime to clinch the three spot in the playoffs, which means they get Washington. The Islanders will have to play the top-seeded Penguins out of the East. I'll just tell you, Danny, that the Bruins, with a soft schedule, have been marvelous since the All-Star break. 12-3-1 in their last 16 games, best team in the NHL during that time, dating back to April 12th's trade deadline. League best 1.82 goals against average. The stingiest defense in the sport.
And that's not what I associate them as.
No.
I associate with a bunch of gifted offensive people. That's troubling.
Now, it's been a lot of Bruins. It's been a lot of Devils. So if you're the Caps coaching staff or players, you can kind of rest easy saying, that's not who we are. You've been playing the soft part of your schedule. But the fact is, they've played great hockey And Washington is really banged up. So I am nervous.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
Frankly, I would have been nervous about any matchup when you're as many injuries down as Washington is right now. And we're waiting to see everyone come back.
Mm-hmm.
But tonight's game is going to be really intriguing. They play the Bruins to end the regular season.
And they'll play the Bruins.
In a game that doesn't matter at all for either team. So how do you go about that? What do you do? What do you show? Do you actually play the players who are not 100% and are trying to get back into the flow so that they're not overly rusty? I don't really know.
Yeah, preseason game, NFL style, as far as I'm concerned. Ovechkin's a game-time decision. He can have a shift, two shifts, whatever he would like, and then please go rest, ice up. If anybody's banged up, this is about health to me more than anything else. A rhythm would be nice. It'd be cool if both goaltenders got a chance. We felt more confident between one or the other, but it sounds like it's Vanacek's show at this point. I don't know, man. I'm nervous basically about the health and as good as Boston has played. This is not a cakewalk by any stretch.
Game one, Caps Bruins to kick off the NHL playoffs on Saturday night at Capital One Arena with the attendance bumped up in the arena to about 1/3 of the barn. So that'll be nice. Nats back in action today after they were idle with the day off yesterday. Chase Anderson pitches for the Phillies at Nationals Park. Eric Fetty, who's been very solid for the Nationals, aside from one outing this season that opened his year on the wrong foot. Nats need a win. They're 13-17. They've dropped 4 of their last 5 and 5 of their last 6. They got to find a way to get a W after getting swept by the Braves, going to New York, and struggling over the weekend. But good news is the Phillies pitching staff is not great, so hopefully their offense can get going. We'll see if they can hang zeros with Eric Fetty and company. But this, to me, this series is about offensively getting on track.
Somebody's got to do something. The Phillies can swing it. I mean, that's a good offensive club with even more in the bag eventually. They've won 5 of 7. They dropped a couple to Atlanta here over the weekend as well. But they're okay. This is what Philly's going to be all year long. They get a decent pitching performance. They'll win like a 7-5 type game. Their bullpen's a shebangus, but they're fine. They're pretty good, and they're competitive. So you get your work cut out, man. At a certain point, you got to start putting some wins together with some consistency.
I did take a couple minutes today to look up the numbers against Anderson for the Nationals lineup, and there are some guys up and down the lineup who have hit him really hard in their career, including 4 Nationals who have homers off of him.
That's good.
Starlin Castro, Jordy Mercer, Victor Robles, Kyle Schwarber have all taken him deep at different points over the years. But let's go back to Westbrook. Let's just start there with the A topic today. Again, we'll get into the Caps and the Bruins with Joe B at 3 o'clock. But Westbrook, 28 points, 13 rebounds, 21 assists last night in that 125-124 thriller. Here's how it sounded on NBC Sports Washington as he grabbed the elusive 10th rebound of the night and became the first player in the history of the NBA to get to 182 triple-doubles.
The fadeaway. And there it is. History. Russell Westbrook has just surpassed Oscar Robertson. It lasted 47 years, and now Russell Westbrook stands there all alone.
A record that was titled untouchable for 47 years.
Justin Kutcher and Drew Gooden, the voices you heard there on the call. Westbrook's first 482 career games, he had 10 triple-doubles.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he was just kind of Robin to Kevin Durant's Batman and got out of the way a bunch in Oklahoma City. Durant ended up getting hurt. And at that point, February 2015, after the Durant foot injury, Westbrook took over as the alpha on that team. And in the final 27 games of that season, he doubled his career total of triple-doubles, had 9 more in those 27 games. And that really jump-started whatever this has become now for him, where I think he realized, I could do this every night. I'm a good enough rebounder. I get guys involved enough. The next 371 games he played in, he recorded 127 more. Obviously, that was into a season where he averaged a triple-double for a whole year.
Yep.
Something he's now done for the last 5 years, which is unheard of.
That's just stupid.
This might be his best season ever, though. I mean, honestly, that you can, you know, parse that up with maybe the turnovers or some efficiency things. But 36 triple-doubles in 62 games, averaging career highs in assists, 11.6 is number 1 in the NBA. Rebounds, 11.6. He's top 5 in the NBA in rebounds.
That's absurd.
Like, that's not among guards. That's among everybody.
Among all the people, yeah.
Five. And you just look at the last 20 games with the Wiz going 15-5. He gets them into the playoffs here. He's averaging over those 20 games, 23 points, 14 boards, and 14 assists with 17 triple-doubles in 20 games. I'm going to say that again. Last 20 games, they're 15-5. He has averaged 23, 14, and 14 with 17 triple-doubles. Is this his best season?
Video game stuff. It's up there. I mean, he led the league in scoring and averaged a triple-double that year. He's had years where he shot a lot better, including from the foul line, by the way. But this is picking nits. We're still in the most rarefied possible air. You know, the responsibility on his shoulders, it's exhausting, right? You handle the ball. You make the decision. Either you are scoring or you're passing to the person that's about to score. Every possession, that's really, really fatiguing. That's tiring. There are going to be turnovers. There are going to be some bad plays. There are going to be some, I really wish you hadn't just stood around and bricked that ball off the side of the backboard or whatever the hell. But there are going to be some of those moments. But you absolutely trade that in for those numbers that you just read. He's so dynamic, pushing the pace so relentlessly with boundless energy.
I love the guy. I love how hard he works. I love how much he hustles. I like how obvious it is that he cares so much. Those are qualities in sports that really resonate with me. I enjoy watching players that have fun, but I enjoy watching players who look like they care. And he is first team all, looks like he cares. Cutting to break last night at halftime, 45 seconds, 1 minute after the end of the half, NBC Sports Washington is showing him walking back out onto the court with Daniel Gafford because he was furious about something Gafford had done on the last possession so that he can show him what he wants him to do as he's driving. They're on the floor as everyone has gone into the locker room, and he's sitting there coaching Daniel Gafford. I cannot get enough of this dude. This was Westbrook after the game on the record that he was able to break.
Man, you know, it's just a blessing, man. You know, you put so much into the game, you put so much time, you sacrifice so much to put into the game, and to be able to just be mentioned with guys like Oscar and Magic and Jason Kidd and those guys is just something that I never would have dreamt about as a young kid growing up in L.A. And I'm truly grateful for moments like this and something that I should.
I saw this graphic via basketball reference Axios Visuals.
Mm-hmm.
They went triple doubles by year for Russell Westbrook. So 08-09, his first year, he had one. 09-10, he had one. 10-11, he had three. And then just by year, I'm going to give you.
Yep.
So this is his career. 1-1-3-0-1-2-11-18.
Oh.
42-25-38-36. Right around 2014, something clicks.
There's a leap there.
Where he goes, why don't I just do this all the time?
Well, it's really the rebounding totals. As a guy that handles the ball that much and pushes the pace, and some of those assist totals will come as guys spread the court.
Well, he's just such a good playmaker.
Yeah, he 100% is.
Spread out, hit shots. He gets you open looks, but the rebounding, man.
That's the thing I cannot wrap my head around. Again, he is a great rebounder, not just for a point. He's the best rebounding guard in history, as far as I'm concerned. But he's a great rebounder for the league, not just for a point guard.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I keep saying the same thing. It's like Andre Drummond at 7'2", 270 pounds, when he's in his prime, pulls down this many. DeAndre Jordan, who is a rolling dunk machine who gets offensive rebounds and boxes people out and will give you like 20 and 16. That's what Russell Westbrook's doing for the point guard spot.
Think about all the seven-footers who are pretty good rebounders who will never average 12 in a season. So many. I would say the vast majority of like seven-footers in the NBA right now will never average 12 rebounds in a season like he's doing at this moment. He's such a wonderful playmaker. I think that's the part of his game. When he was at his apex in his prime, he got a lot of credit for. There was a lot of bashing him last season and at the beginning of this season that maybe he wasn't that anymore. I love this quote from him after the game, if we could play this. And I just love the confidence where he's like, I mean this humbly, but I'm about to say that I'm the best at doing something. He thinks he is the best playmaker in the NBA still right now.
I humbly say this, but like I said last week, I'm the best playmaker in this league. And I have no doubt in my mind, and I do that every night. I know it seems normal. That seems normal, you know, and at least from my point of view. But it's not, man. I take a lot of pride in finding ways to make my teammates effective, make the game easy for them, and you know, just keep going. Unfortunately, we couldn't get the win today, but you know, get ready for the next game and see how I can continue to make my teammates better.
I think it's probably hard to quantify or definitively give him that distinction. There are other guys that are every bit as
and
good.
There's a nebulous definition, too, of playmaking and different things. But, yeah, he's certainly in contention.
I think he is in that convo.
Right.
How many guys on this team? We're going to talk to Hal Netto at some point today. They're headed back to the team hotel from their workout. He's going to give us a call to just talk about this honor for Russell Westbrook. But how many guys has he made better this season because of his playmaking propensity and the ability to get these guys looks? I'd be curious to open up the Gambit DC listener lines at 800-636-1067. We could just kind of broadly get your reaction to what Westbrook did last night and what he's done in his career. Maybe what is the most impressive thing about what he's been able to accomplish? 800-636-1067. I'd also be curious. I was very, very open-minded, while very pro this trade. I liked the trade. I had seen the Wall and Beal thing long enough. I knew where this team was going, and it was stagnant. It was nowhere fast. And I was very on board with this trade. But I was also worried because a lot of smart basketball people were telling me, basically selling me, that Westbrook doesn't have a lot left, and you know he's not a winner, and this is a guy who's going to be bad in the locker room. A bunch of things, by the way, that have just been proven to be completely untrue here so far this year. But what did you think when they brought him in of Westbrook, and what do you think of him now? What I can tell you, Danny, is that I appreciate his game so much more watching him night in and night out. You hear sometimes people say stuff like that. Like, this is a guy you need to watch all the time. And I always roll my eyes and think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like a band you have to see live.
Yeah, a commentator or an analyst say that on TV. I always think, you're just, you know, that's just a way to sugarcoat that a guy is not as good as everyone talks about him being. But I've always kind of thought, he's too inefficient. He takes terrible shots. You know what? I would watch him a game here and a game there. I just love watching him play. I love his game. I've completely come around on this dude.
So there is, for people that really love and appreciate basketball for all the things, right? If you're able to look beyond, did this guy make the jump shot, yes or no? People just say, well, that guy's a scorer, so he's great at basketball, right? So all those years when we had those Kyrie Irving, John Wall debates where John Wall has a complete floor game and he's rebounding, he's defending, and he's, you know, creating things for teammates, and he's got a clogged lane that he's got to deal with and doing all this other stuff, whereas Irving's just kind of drifting around waiting for his turn to shoot, hitting step backs. He's a better shooter, better scorer. And if you just go, well, he's a better scorer, therefore he's a better player, we don't have that much on the menu for you tonight with Russell Westbrook. We don't. It's not going to be as fun for you. If you appreciate a floor game, if you appreciate a guy that relentlessly pushes pace and forces defenders into bad spots, that gets guys open looks constantly, that's the best rebounding guard in history, that's capable of getting in passing lanes and getting steals and turnovers and forcing deflections. If you're not into that, there's plenty of other things for you. You can watch guys score on a nightly basis. You can watch Damian Lillard, who's excellent, by the way. This is different. And what he's doing and what he has done is astounding, especially when you go through that arc where it's like, it sounds like you're designing a computer program, 0-1, 1-0, 1-0, 1. Then all of a sudden, it's like 36 in terms of triple-doubles.
Yeah.
There was an awakening, and he became this, and he's a Hall of Famer.
I remember when I was a kid watching a Wizards game with Buck and Phil on the call, and I don't remember who it would have been, but someone had like one of the rare triple-doubles. Like, first time a Wizard had a triple-double in 4 years, probably, you know? And they showed the graphic of career triple-doubles as a bit, almost. And it showed, like, whoever the player was, let's just say it was Rod Strickland, his third. And then it showed Oscar Robertson's number. And just as a way to show, you're never getting to that.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever getting to that. That record, which fell last night, when I was a kid, was one of the records that was never going to fall. As long as you live, you'll never see someone get more triple-doubles than Oscar Robertson. And now someone has. And it's Russell Westbrook. What other records that everyone says can't fall might? And what's the record that is the least likely to fall in sports? If you had to bet every penny you own on a record never falling, which one would you put your money on? We can get into that next as well. 800-636-1067. You want to talk Westbrook or unbreakable records with us? G&D on the Fan.
I mean, it's great for him. You can't take anything away from him. The guy's, he's a winner. He's a winner. He's making the basketball and the non-basketball world a better place. Not a lot of guys can do that. Not a lot of guys can have the impact that he has, both on and off the court. It's pretty phenomenal. That a guy that had very modest upbringing, I mean, opportunities, and I keep going back, he was raised, mom and dad, he's done a great job. Russell Westbrook is a winner.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. That was head coach Scott Brooks last night after Russell Westbrook's record-breaking performance. I want to look back at the run that Colt Brennan had here in Washington. Tragic to hear the report out of Hawaii that he's passed. Just awful. 37 years old. We could do that at the end of the hour.
Yeah, man. It's tough.
3 o'clock, Joe Beninati joins us. We'll preview the Caps and the Bruins in round one of the NHL postseason. Right now, 800-636-1067 on the Gambit DC listener lines. You want to react to Westbrook last night. Also want to get into just records that won't fall. It's one of my favorite kind of niche-y, cool little sports talk topics because it's one of those things me and my buddies always debate. Like, what is the record that will never fall? And until last night, this was one of those.
This was on my list. I mean, Magic Johnson, who was the best candidate, I think was 60 shy of Oscar Robertson. 60. Not even close. And he was amazing at this. And he was, again, he could do anything on the basketball court. And he wasn't even close. Westbrook just ran past it last night.
Active leaders after Westbrook.
Harden.
Nikola Jokic has 56. Luka Doncic has 35. And I'm thinking of most likely to surpass him.
Okay, yeah.
So Harden is higher than Doncic. But because he's only 22, Doncic with 35 would be in the conversation. Simmons, who has 32, he's 24. You know, maybe have the best chance to catch him, so to speak.
Yeah, again, a point guard who's 6'8", right?
Let's go to Walt in Alexandria. Hey, Walt, how are you, man?
How you doing today, sir?
What's up, buddy?
You know, Westbrook is a good player. He broke Oscar Robinson's record last night. Well, the thing about records are like pie crust, made to be broken. Now, the thing about it, if the Wizards are going to win the championship, they need a stopper. They need somebody who can stop the other team from scoring because they lose by 1 or 2 points, but they need somebody. Who do you suggest they can get that could be a stopper to stop the other team from scoring in order for them to win?
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, bud.
There aren't people available right now who can play stopper.
Yeah, not at this moment. I mean, next year, looking ahead, because wherever this is fun. They're cannon fodder for one of the top seeds at some point, right? But I'm having a good time watching them now. The offseason is going to be really interesting because you got these two max guys, and you got to do something. You already committed a bunch of money to Bertans. Thomas Bryant's coming back. You've got Gafford. They could really use, not this actual person, but someone like him, a Trevor Ariza-like player. A 3-and-D guy would really help them. A legit 4, like a guy they saw last night named John Collins, would help them. He's going to get a max deal from somebody. It won't be here because they'll have to pay the luxury tax.
He can shoot and jump out of the gym.
But he can do everything on the basketball court, and he'd be a wonderful running mate for us.
They're not going to get the stopper that you want. I can assure you that right now. They are playing better defense as far as some of the metrics. Last week or two.
Yeah, lately it's been slipping a little bit.
Not so much, but basically, stylistically, they're just saying now, all right, let's get as many possessions, as many points as possible. And to comp it to another sport, like they're trying to win shootouts.
Yes.
They are now designed to win 40 to 37 games where they throw for 472 yards. And they're caring a lot less about trying to play defense in an era where nobody really plays defense. But last night it didn't work because they couldn't get the big stops when they needed them. 125-124 final. They scored 45 points in the fourth quarter, by the way, to make that a game.
Yeah.
They needed to give up 27 and they would have won. They gave up 29 instead. But I can't wait to see what they do in the postseason just because they've become must-watch. As you said, they're not good enough, this iteration of this team with or without Beal, who didn't play last night, to make a deep run, but they're going to give somebody fits. All right, here are the most likely records to never be broken. Like, I've got to put every penny, I've got to put my livelihood on, here's a record that never falls. I think you got to look at first the sports that have changed to make it almost impossible to do what the old guys did. Okay? So follow me here.
Mm-hmm.
In baseball, you can, but nobody does it. As a pitcher, you don't go deep into games anymore. If you're a back of the rotation starter, a team's looking for 5 innings. If you're a front of the rotation starter, a team's looking for 6+. If you can average 7 innings every single time out, you're going to lead the league in innings by far at the end of the year. So I say that to say that Cy Young's record of 749 complete games, and the list of the top guys in complete games are a bunch of dudes who played 50 years before I was born, and their names
and
that
more.
Are just awesome.
Yeah.
Pud Galvin, Kid Nicholas, Mickey Welch, Old Hoss Radbourne, that kind of name, like the names that you say, that's just out of a movie. That's all the dudes that did it.
Burley Grimes.
That's a
name. That's a name.
Burley Grimes?
33rd.
That's my favorite guy ever.
He and Joe McGinty tied for 33rd.
Burley Grimes. I might name my next kid Burley.
Red Donahue and Guy Hecker. I'm just telling you, this
Everybody's
is a different time.
Kid or Red or, you know, Sox or something. Anyway, 749 complete games for Cy Young. Can't be touched. The game has changed too much. Similarly in hockey, there was a time where goals and points happened way more frequently than they do now. So the fact that Wayne Gretzky had 2,857 points, which is like almost 1,000 more than anybody else. I think Jagr's number two at 1,900-some. That will never be touched. We're talking about Ovechkin possibly breaking the unbreakable goals record. And that may fall. Probably not. And Ovechkin's been incredible for going on a decade and a half. But the almost 2,900 points in over 1,400 games by Gretzky, impossible to reach.
Staggering. You know how many 200-plus point seasons he had?
I don't.
200 points. It's a significant
number. By the way,
number.
100 now is considered the, oh my goodness.
We're throwing a party for Connor McDavid.
The best season that anyone's had in a while. You got 100 points. Good for you. That's elite.
Four different 200-plus point seasons. And then the other year, he really slummed it at 196 right there in his prime for Edmonton. It's just different, man. Different game. Everything about it's different.
All right, so those are mine. What do you got? Most unbreakable records.
Those are my two favorites. I'll add in strikeout record. Nolan Ryan, the longevity to do that.
What's that at?
That is in the – I just had it in front of me. I lost it. I apologize. Also, Cy Young win totals as well.
That's the number that comes out in my head is like 511. I don't know if that's right.
I think that is it. 511 for Cy Young. 511 wins.
Slumdog
Ball. Nailed that one. But those kind of longevity – getting enough decisions. Like a guy pitches 200 innings, he still will only have like 15 or 20 decisions in a given year, right? Just the way the game is at this point.
So I'm going to comp this with Scherzer. Nolan Ryan apparently has 5,714 strikeouts.
I think that's
5,714. Scherzer, who I think of as like Mr. Strikeout of his era, basically, he has had well over 200 punchouts in 8 consecutive seasons before last year's pandemic year. Which is, I mean, you just don't strike out more guys than he has over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even at 2,900 for his career.
Right about half of what Ryan did.
So, yeah.
Half.
I like that one. That might work. Let's go to Andrews in Damascus. Record that will not fall in honor of Westbrook breaking one of the records that won't be broken last night.
Yeah, hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
What's up, man?
Good. So, I got two. Basically, gameplay streak. I don't see Brett Favre ever getting beaten, especially with the concussion protocols now. It's just hard to string them together. And then same with Cal Ripken. In baseball, guys just get healthy scratches all the time. So I just don't see either of those ever being touched.
Yeah, you don't really see guys play 162 in a season anymore. That's very rare. A few guys a year might. But to string together a few of those is unheard of, let alone nearly 20 years of doing that. 2632. Is the number, by the way, for Cal Ripken Jr. And that's one of those that's just burned into my mind. And I might as well use that as like a pin for all of my accounts. It's one of those numbers, four numbers long. I'll never forget. Chris in Hyattsville, what's up?
Yo, every time a pitcher comes out of the game before the ninth inning, old Hoss Radburn stirs in his grave.
That's right.
Okay?
He probably does.
Let me just tell you about this guy. If you're not familiar with a great YouTube channel called Foolish Baseball, you should be. He does an entire bit about old Hoss Radburn's season in 1884, in which he set the major league record for most wins at 60.
What? He won 60 games? He's in the 60 win
game? What?
He went 60-12, okay? He won 60 games.
That's my favorite part. He also lost 12.
Right. He pitched 678.2 innings, number two all time, after a season he had just come off where he pitched 632 innings. So back-to-back 600-inning outings for you. Okay? He gave up 528 hits.
I'm looking at it. That's unbelievable. I'm looking at it now. He bested old John Clarkson by 7 wins. Old Hoss Radburn had a 60-win season. John Clarkson had a 53-win season.
441 strikeouts, Grant. God, you like so strikeouts?
Funny. I love punches.
How about 441?
Yeah, but he only struck out 5.8 per nine. He didn't have swing and miss stuff.
That's unbelievable. Ball had arc on it. He's throwing every day.
God, thank you, Chris. That is hysterical.
So look at I've
never looked at this season before right now.
So I've got these now. This is
thank
when
you for this,
very modern game, 1884, when Old Hoss Radburn won 60 games.
Have you ever seen this season?
No.
60-12, that's a 1.38 ERA, 75 games, 73 starts.
Well, you want to talk about the year of the pitcher, Guy Hecker in 1884. He won himself 52 games. He went 52-20.
Nice year for him.
With 670 innings pitched.
Kevin's in King George. What's up, Kevin? You're on G&D. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm actually at the fourth brand-new Wawa, Grant, in King George.
Wow. Love that. That's a huge deal.
Where is the new Wawa on KG?
It's down towards Rappahannock, Chrysler, and all that.
Oh, okay. I got to go check it out. I'm a big Wawa guy.
Yeah, but anyways, listen, the other guy took my thunder away because I was going to say Cal Ripken. Nobody's going to get to that number just based on your talking about how baseball has changed. And you got to remember, there's injuries. And Cal is lucky he has that streak because he got in that brawl against the Seattle Mariners. You remember that?
Yeah,
the light bank game.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And also he got hurt. Like someone fell during a picture at the All-Star game one time and he hurt his nose real bad. Maybe even broke his nose or something I read. Connor's in Ashburn. Let's do the last one on this. This is a really good one. Connor, what do you got?
Hey, guys. I got Ricky Henderson in stolen bases. I'm not sure what the number is, but I know it's really high.
Yeah, it's staggering.
Is that season or career that you're looking at?
You know what? It's got to be in a
season.
I know his.
Yeah, because – thanks for the call. Because I think there some guy I've never heard of, I'm looking at it now, had 138 steals. But Ricky Henderson had 130 steals in 1982. So among modern seasons, that's kind of the mark.
Career, 1406. Your second place, the greatest base dealer of all time until that point, 938. Difference of about 500. That's how far Ricky Henderson was past Lou Brock.
Doing the math really quick, Trey Turner is the fastest guy on the Nats, one of the leaders year in and year out in steals. To get to 1,406 steals, if Trey Turner played for 17 years.
Yeah, I'd have to play for 38 years.
So he would, seriously, no, if he played 17 seasons, he would have to average 82 steals a year to get there.
That's absurd.
Now, he already hasn't been doing that. So let's just say he plays for 25 years. He would have to average 57 steals.
Well, that's more doable. Get his agent on the phone.
Just play 25 years and average 57 steals.
Jerry Rice's receiving yard total, almost 23,000.
I think Hal Netto is going to give us a call in a couple of minutes from the Wiz, who had a big night last night. We want to talk Russell Westbrook with him. So we will step aside, get ready for him. And also, I'd love to reminisce on Colt Brennan mania when he was in Washington in 2008 on what is a tragic day as we hear news out of Hawaii is that he's passed away at 37 years old. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Danny on the Fan coming up at 3 o'clock in less than 15 minutes. Joe Beninati of NBC Sports Washington on the Caps first round draw with the Bruins. Right now, though, I want to get to the BetQL guest hotline. Welcome onto the show, Howell Netto of the Washington Wizards, who was on the floor last evening, scoring points and hitting buckets. 12 points, couple boards, couple assists, 31 minutes. Wiz unfortunately lose to the Hawks, but history was made. Russell Westbrook, the all-time record holder in triple-doubles now. Hal, we're Grant and Danny. Thanks for the time from the hotel. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great, man. Help explain what we're seeing with Russell Westbrook. I've grown up loving basketball. I've followed it my whole life. I love the sport. I love the evolution of the game to where it is now. I'm amazed by this. It's absolutely stunning. Try to quantify how impressive this is.
I mean, it's very impressive. I think us that we are out there every day trying to do our best and we barely get I mean, me, myself, barely get 12, 13 points and a couple of assists, and he's doing a triple-double every night. You know, it's incredible. I think it shows his talent, his love for the game, his intensity, his competitiveness. I think everything, you add everything to a basketball player that a basketball player needs to have to win games and to be competitive, and that's Russ, you know, and the numbers just show that. It's very impressive. I think seeing every night, I don't get used to it. Every night we look at the scoreboard and we see in two quarters he's almost got a triple-double. I think it's incredible, something that people that follow basketball, it's once in a 30, 40 years, you know. So I'm really enjoying this season, enjoying playing with him this year.
Hal Netto's with us, sixth year in the NBA, Utah, Philly, and now Washington, averaging 9 points, two boards, two assists, and great defender, and he's just made so many, kind of like the dude that tries the hardest at the gym plays this season. I love watching Netto's game. You were making me laugh, though, talking about, I do everything I can. I score 12 with a couple rebounds. If Bill Gates offered you $1 billion to get a triple-double in your next game, like all you had to do was get a triple-double. Could be 10, 10, and 10, and you get $1 billion. Could you do it?
I mean, it's not that easy. I don't think I need that motivation to try to do a triple-double, you know? If I could, I would do it every night. But, yes, I think I will try a little extra harder if there's $1 billion on the line. But it's not that easy.
Well, we'll do a GoFundMe, see how close we can get.
There you go.
The thing that I can't get over, Hal, is the energy that Russell Westbrook plays with. That's what I can't – guys get tired. Guys can do that in bursts, but he's doing it last night for 40 minutes, flying up and down the court that way. I think it probably raises everybody else's bar a little bit. How does he have that kind of energy?
I don't know. I think, like I said, it's just his love for the game, his toughness, his mentality is something I've never seen before. He brings it to us, you know, during the game. Sometimes you feel a little tired, which is normal, but he's always like, nobody's tired. Come on. We gotta win that game. It's game time. It's winning time. And he brings that mentality and that energy to everybody else. So I think that's him, you know. And like I said, if you ask guys that play with him, they're all going to say that about him. He brings it every night. Every night he brings the intensity. Every night he brings that energy. And it's impressive. I think physically he's very on top of his body. You know, he's very intense every night. And it's something that I think it amazes me. You know, it's my first year playing solid minutes and playing every game and playing 20 plus minutes, and my body feel it. You know, some days I'm like, damn, that's hard. And he's been doing that for 13 years. So it's very impressive. And that's why he's Russ, you know, that's why he got all the records he got. And I'm glad that I have him here to learn from him. And I think it's been great for my career too.
Hal, we only have 1 minute left here. We're up against it at the end of the hour, unfortunately. But I do want to get a clarification. All the interviews I see with you from earlier in your career, everyone's calling you Raul Netto. And now, every time I watch the game, they call you Howell Netto. So that's what I'm calling you. Am I doing it right? Is it Howell or is it Raul?
It's Howell. I appreciate that because that's how you pronounce my name in Portuguese. So people, after a couple of years, they start doing it right.
Hey, you get a couple of those 10, 15-point games and big steals late in games, people start saying your
name
right.
You're in the association for a while. Exactly. Yeah, you were in the right to have your name said correctly. Thank you for joining us, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much.
Enjoy yourself, and thanks for jumping on last minute. He was at the team hotel, was kind enough to give us a quick buzz here at the end of the hour to talk Russell Westbrook. Howell Netto.
That's mostly for me.
That's for Danny.
That's pretty much for me.
Before we went on, I said, it's Howell. He's like, you mean Raul? And I'm like, well, they say Howell on TV every single night.
I'm like, yeah, but I hear Raul because of the big R.
They're wrong.
Right.
They're not doing it.
It's on me. I get it.
But no, Chris on Twitter wanted to know. He says, can you ask about the pronunciation of his name? Joe B. on the Caps and the Bruins next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.